What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. 8 o'clock on a Reaction Monday, a Football Monday following a weekend, of course, in the NFL. 6 weeks in the books and a quick turnaround, of course, for us here in Philadelphia as we get ready for week number 7 and the Birds taking on the New York Giants. That will be on Thursday, but we have to recap what we saw yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, as we are broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. And we have an abbreviated show following, as always, on Mondays, the great, great show Inside the Birds Radio with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. Always great to follow those two because they have so much information, so much knowledge of everything going on with the Philadelphia Eagles, that coupled with the fact that the Birds played a game, and then following those two guys, they make things easy for us as we get ready to do this two-hour abbreviated show with you every Monday. So listen, make sure you follow those guys at Inside the Birds. Listen to their podcast on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 8 a.m. Early morning. I think it's like 6 a.m. That's when the podcast actually drops. But make sure you listen to their podcast, Inside the Birds, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and a YouTube channel as well. But we have to get into so many different things with the Philadelphia Eagles as they fell yesterday to the Baltimore Ravens. And listen, at this stage, we already know what it is. 30-28, we all know what happened. We all know how it played out at the very end. We know how it played out in the first half. So let's just get right to it. So right away from me, the slow starts. Once again, getting off to the slow starts is where the Philadelphia Eagles are, and it is very frustrating at this point to see that they start so slowly every single game to get themselves in these bigger holes than they need to be. We spoke about it briefly during the week and even during the pregame show. Get something going early where you have now the other team trying to catch you. How about that? Make that happen. Make that work for you where now you're able to dictate the pace of the game. So even if you want to continue to be very aggressive through the air because you are in fact up 17-7, then you can go ahead and do that. Or you can decide to run the football and kind of slow things down, but eat chunks of time off the clock. Do what you need to do. And the next thing you know, that time of possession is in your favor. And you are looking very, very good as a team overall with how you're doing and dictating the style of play of the game, the flow, everything that goes along with it. But they continue to put themselves in these tough positions where they are trailing very early. Turnovers, the fumble from Carson Wentz deep in the territory of their own territory. So Baltimore had an easy one right there where they were able to simply go ahead, get a quick score after a turnover by Carson Wentz. So you have that you have to focus on with Carson Wentz. Then you start to see things starting to turn around for them where they're able to pick the pace up and get things going, incorporating some different things with Jalen Hurts now in the mix for the Philadelphia Eagles. He had a long run of 20 yards, 2 carries, 23. We'll talk about the other one where on the other option that they had where it was snuffed out. But you saw some things there. And at this stage where the Birds are now 1-4-1 after this loss to the Baltimore Ravens 30-28 yesterday afternoon, you now have to incorporate a lot of different things. As you start to lose people with your overall depth of talent, yes, since you do have Jalen Hurts, we'll complain about it as much as we can, as much as we want when the opportunity presents itself that you wasted that second round pick. But he's here. It's over with. You're without weapons. You need to use that guy in any type of way as long as he's active. And those were some positive things that we saw yesterday afternoon against the Baltimore Ravens. But to wait again, where they did put up 22 points in the fourth quarter, it takes you back once again to the start. Sacked on the first possession. Nothing on the second down. And then Hightower drops that deep ball down the right sideline, 48-yard pass attempt on third down. That would have been a big boost for the team immediately in the game. Give you that momentum. make up for last week when you also saw John Hightower drop the football. And dropping that football, maybe Carson Wentz will lose a little bit of confidence. Now, I actually still like the guy in John Hightower because for some reason I heard Jeff say this. He continues to find a way to get open. He has to now secure the football. Jeff also mentioned a full offseason of full NFL training where he is able to get himself going as a receiver in the league. He now knows what it takes. He now knows what games are like. And I still like John Hightower. Right now, it's just not working out for him. He did come back later on and catch that deep ball to kind of make up for things. But that was a big play, the one later on to the Baltimore 27. That was the first third down conversion. How about that? We'll get into all of that as well as we go along. And then you come right back on that play. Great ball placement from Carson Wentz. That was just a tremendous throw by him to start off the game. And John Hightower failed him. All right, cool. They come back right away. 9-play, 47-yard drive, converted second and long on third down. And it's just immediately for Baltimore, they get off to their good start. They put up 14 in the first quarter right away. And you're already looking at it saying, once again, here we are. And the second one came off of the fumble by Carson Wentz. Baltimore started on the 28 of Philadelphia's, and the next thing you know, Gus Edwards, he's in the end zone, on rushing touchdown on 3rd and 1. And we're already sitting there skeptical. The fans are already booing in the stadium because they expected to see something totally different on a very beautiful Sunday afternoon, a game in which they were in the building for the very first time, and an opportunity for them to make a statement to themselves, most importantly, that they can continue to play with the likes of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, and last weekend was no fluke. The San Francisco game was no fluke. We can get things going. We can get back on track. And while the offense is continuing to put points now on the board, they have to find a way to come away with these victories. But if you can start to go now to the second quarter and how things really went, again, first series, they punt. Terrible. They punt. Then Baltimore gets a big play from Willie Snead down to the Philadelphia 30. And the best kicker in the game, as Tyler and I were talking about it last week, Justin Tucker is just basically, he's not even putting a lot of effort into these things. And he drills a 36-yarder to make it 17-0. Next series again, punt. Wentz sacked on 3rd and long. And over and over and over again, you continue to see the same exact thing. And they cannot pick up the first downs. They cannot get out of their own way, right? They just cannot get out of their own way. They had one play where Miles Sanders dropped the football in the end zone. He had him all turned around. Carson Wentz did. He was trying to locate the football, and he had turned right first, and then he had to, contort his body back to the left. And I'm sure the sun also played a part in it due to the fact that it was a sunny day yesterday afternoon. And that was the 2nd and 2. And next thing you know, there's a 4th and 1 with Carson Wentz trying to sneak, and they don't get it, right? Later on, Jake Elliott misses a 52-yarder where he is supposed to be this automatic guy, and ever since 2017, he has not been the same. I was talking to Pat Egan earlier today when we were discussing this because last season we were talking about Jake Elliott and the fact that he makes you cringe. Even though he has the big leg, he still makes you cringe. You can't trust him when he's lining up for a field goal because he's too inconsistent as a field goal kicker. Where is the competition coming in, pushing him in the offseason, even though they gave him the new contract, because he is not reliable enough. He's supposed to be at least reliable when it comes to those long ones. And yes, he has a very good percentage and all that stuff, but it always seems that the misses come at the most inopportune time for Jake Elliott and the Philadelphia Eagles. At the half, the Birds had 29 passing yards, 96 total yards, against the Baltimore Ravens. Then there's the tale of the two halves. They put up their 28 points in the second half. Baltimore got theirs quick. 7 points in the third quarter immediately. Then the Birds get their 6. Go for 2. Which I did not like. I know it's been talked about heavily on the station all day. You just heard the guys talking about it on Inside the Birds. All the callers mentioning it as well. I did not like going for 2 right away. I just don't. I understand the aggressiveness of Doug Peterson. I understand that sometimes we agree with him. Sometimes we don't. So if you are on the side that did not agree with him going for the 2 points on their first score, that's okay. If you have a logical reason why, right? You're starting to feel like you're going to chase points. Why are you chasing points so early? It's still the third quarter. Why are you going to do that? It's 24-6 now. I mean, not 24-6. The Birds came right back and scored on that when it was 23-6 at that point. And you're looking at it saying, guys, just go ahead and take the extra point and hope that your defense can make a stop. You come back, you get another score. If you feel that that's a good spot, then go ahead. Right away, though, when Doug Peterson says today that the momentum, he wanted to keep the momentum going. I get that you just scored, but how much momentum did you really have? You didn't. Take the 7, move on, come back, score again. You never know what happens later on. So I did not like that immediately. You know, Hightower does come back later on with the big play that we talked about a little bit earlier on the first down conversion, which was their first third down conversion. 3rd and 10, Ertz to the Pittsburgh, Baltimore 5, 1st and goal. They had a lot of things work out for them, did the Philadelphia Eagles, with the roughing the passer on that one on 3rd down. Ball now moved to the 3. Jason Kroom, who we mentioned during the pregame show, along with the cornerback Elijah, being moved up also to the from the practice squad to the big squad. Elijah Riley, Jason Kroom and Elijah Riley moved up from the practice squad. And he was sitting there all by himself for every bit of 5 seconds, standing there, and no one knew he was there. No one, including the Philadelphia Eagles, Baltimore, Philadelphia, no one saw the man standing right there at the very top of beginning of the end zone, right by the pylon, just standing there waving his arms. And Carson Wentz eventually found him, getting that score. But that's the type of things it has been for the Philadelphia Eagles, where they are down to these type of people where you're saying, who is that? Remember last year when it was Robert Davis? Who was that? When it was Deontay Burnett? Who was that? We already knew about, what's my man's name? I always forget his name, the tight end, 83, that, what's his name again, Tyler?
Josh Perkins.
Yeah, it's my man, but I always forget his name.
Yeah, it's like your best friend that you don't know his name.
I like Josh Perkins, though, and he's hurt, so I know he's not playing this season. But, yeah, you just look at you look at that, and you look at a situation like they are now, and Jason Kroom, he ends up with the score, and you're like, again, who? And I look at that, and you make it 24-14 at this point. I look at this one, and I say, you're down the way you're down. Things are not going for you. You're trying to find Zach Ertz early on. Where are the targets to Travis Fulgham? We understand that they have a very, 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 very good secondary with Peters and Humphrey. And you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, well, you know, can he hold up against it? Well, try it out. Figure it out. See if he can. Jimmy Smith is also out there. See if he can. Because that's who you have. That's who you seem to trust right now. Give him an opportunity against these guys, because they are going to also focus on Zach Ertz and try to take him away. And later on, Zach Ertz goes out. He's 4 receptions for 33 yards. 10 targets for Zach Ertz. So when we speak about the targets not really being there, they are not able to connect and all of that, well, they definitely look for him this time. With the 10 targets, that's a team high for Travis Fulgham and Zach Ertz with those 10 targets from Carson Wentz yesterday afternoon against Baltimore. This whole thing, and I have to tell you the truth. We're leaving Parks Casino and I come back and I'm kind of busy because I had some other things I had to do, but I wanted to make sure I recorded the game so I can watch it and focus on it. And I look up and I happen to see it somewhere on my phone that, you know, because I got a couple of texts, and one of these group texts, and of course with D Gunn and B West texting back and forth. And I'm like, man, you know how you try to ignore any text that you get or any phone call because you want to make sure that you try to go in there clean? You don't see anything. You're trying to focus on the game as is when you're ready to sit down and focus. And I knew what happened, that they scored the 28. They got down. They scored the 28, and they got there. They had an opportunity to tie it at the very end. And it's just so frustrating as I watched this game yesterday and see how everything played out. The offensive line was in shambles. Jamon Brown should not take the field again as an offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles because he was terrible yesterday afternoon along the offensive line. And as I heard Jeff and Adam speak about, once one thing is messed up on the offensive line, it's now a domino effect going forward with the offensive line where the mistakes just continue to happen. And he was awful yesterday, right? Awful yesterday. Now you have all of these injuries where you're looking at Lane Johnson, when is he coming back with the ankle injury? And Jason Peters, when will he return? And when he does, is he going to slide over to that right guard position and help out the Philadelphia Eagles? Although, again, Jeff and Adam know better than I. So, of course, when they say that Herbig has been playing well and Jack Driscoll, who is now going to be out, also could potentially be out since they have a short week against the New York Giants, then you're going to need all hands on deck. And what does that mean for Matt Pryor? And now you look at with Zach Ertz being out for a couple of weeks, Miles Sanders. This whole thing at this point is a mess. And while you feel good about them, number one, Carson Wentz played terrible football in the first half. But in the second half, he was tremendous. He was tough. He was on point with where he wanted to go. He never quit. He gave them every opportunity to score those points yesterday and win that football game. He was great in the second half. Great. All right? But they have to get off to a better start. They have to. He has to be better. The skill people have to be better. Doug Peterson has to be better with some of the play calling. They need to be better at the start of these games in order to get themselves back on track. We've been saying it week after week after week after these losses. Maybe this is who they are. But they've been finding themselves competitive in these games against the Steelers and the Ravens, winning the 49ers game. They had an opportunity to at least win another one of the three in a row from the 49ers to the Steelers to the Ravens here yesterday afternoon before you get to the three division games against the Giants and the Cowboys. And they dropped them. They had an opportunity and they dropped at least a chance to pick up one more on this season. Each loss hurts each one if everyone else does not cooperate in the divisions, speaking mainly of the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, will be playing the Arizona Cardinals tonight. There's a lot to talk about. The two halves, the tale of two halves for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Eagle fans, what stood out to you yesterday? What do you make of this team now at 1-4-1? Quick turnaround, getting ready for the New York Giants. They are, again, in must-win situations. Giants, Cowboys, Giants. Those three games are up next, with a bye included. They have to win these next three. And again, on the morning show last week from The Athletic, Zach Berman saying, all right, the Baltimore game is very important, but those next three are the most important because they are division games. And they are winnable games as well. Can you make up the ground? So as bad as it looks right now, 1-4-1. You win these next three, you're talking about 4-4-1. You never want to get ahead of yourself, but now they have given us no choice. We always do it because we're football fans. We're sports fans. We look ahead to what's next on the schedule for our local teams. They need to win these next three. Are they good enough to win these next three? Now that they're banged up with their best players in Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz, the offensive line, the shuffling the deck of that. Now, Malik Jackson might be out as well. You still have your issues with the other cornerback, not named Darius Slay. Kayvon Wallace, he's now potentially going to be out on a short week. Because of all these injuries just continuing to pile up, that Giants team got their first victory yesterday. They might feel good about themselves heading here to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles and saying, hey guys, we can steal one. And by the way, this division is still up for grabs. No moral victory for me yesterday, although they played tough. Carson Wentz was really, really tough in the second half. When we hear from Tyler Zuli, I already know that he is not a moral victory person, so we'll hear what he has to say. They did not quit. They showed some things again, but I cannot stand that they continue to show these things again, the positives, after they are down so big in the first place. So let's get things started. Well, I already know, Mike, we'll get to you first and everybody else there that follows. Here are the numbers, 610-632-0975. Guys, what stood out to you yesterday in the loss, the frustrating parts, the positive things that you looked at to make you feel good, maybe heading into Thursday night's game against the New York Giants? Because I see a lot of positives, but I still lean on the negative things mostly because they keep losing at the very end. They keep losing at the very end. I really like Travis Fulgham. They may have found something in Travis Fulgham. Jackson and Jeffrey come back. Okay, cool. You cannot take Fulgham off the field. I still want to see those targets to John Hightower because he does have speed. I want to see that. I still want to see Greg Ward mixed in. I do. And at this point, let's see a little bit more of what they do with Jalen Hurts as well to disguise some things, throw the defense off a little bit. We see it from everyone else. He's there. He's active. You're a bad football team. You might as well find a spark somewhere. That 20-yard run that he did give them, that was a spark for the team scoring thereafter. Again, they have to try everything at this point for this team. They do. So let's hear from you, your thoughts on the game, your leftover things that you saw in the game yesterday that you want to talk about with us here tonight. 610-632-0975. We'll take your phone calls on that. I'll express again my thoughts from the offseason where I felt like they should have gone out there and gotten themselves another running back. And now Miles Sanders is going to miss Thursday's game. 610-632-0975. Mike, we'll start with you. Everybody else that's there as well, we'll follow. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10. Reaction Monday on a Football Friday, Football Monday right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
A30, 97.5, The Fanatic on a Football Monday, which is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. To join us here tonight to talk about the Birds, 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975. Your leftover reaction from the Birds dropping one to the Ravens yesterday. Their fourth loss of the season, 30-28. Sunday afternoon in front of you fans. If you were in the building, please let us know what it was like, the whole process. How different was it for you to pull up to Lincoln Financial Field? Not a lot of traffic, not a lot of cars, no worries, no issues really getting in. Let us all know, you know, what it was like. And also share with the folks who may be there on Thursday night for the Giants game that need to know exactly, well, they've already gotten their stuff in the mail and what the protocol is, what the process is to get into the building. But maybe you're helping someone out by telling them what you had to go through to get into the building yesterday. So let us all know what the experience was like down there in front of, what was that? It was like 5,500 people there.
Yeah, it was somewhere yesterday. Between 5 and 6,000.
Yeah, so, you know, let us know what it was like there. And also, just give us your leftover thoughts on the game overall. Another tough one, because they brought themselves back to be in a position to tie it, to get to overtime. However, why? Why do they have to continue to get off to these very slow starts? Why? Why? Is it a talent thing? Is it? And we already know about the 15 scripted plays to start things off. What is it that they continue to get off to these slow starts in these football games? What is it? All right, let's go to the phones. We'll get to Tyler Zuli as well. Get his thoughts. 610-632-0975. The leftovers from yesterday's game, 30-28. Birds are now 1-4-1. 0-2-1 at home. The Baltimore Ravens are 5-1 on the season. And by the way, they didn't look great yesterday, but you gave them an opportunity, right? Lamar Jackson, 16 of 27. One touchdown, sacked three times, 13 yards. Carson Wentz, he was sacked six times, 43, but he was hit 16 times. You heard Jeff Mosher say that. You can't win like that. You cannot win like that. And Miles Sanders, another big rush, 74 yards, then he fumbles. So even when the good things happen, the bad things there follow. All right, let's start things off in South Philly here on this Monday night where you're leftover reactions are welcome. Let's go to Mike in South Philly tipping us off on this Monday night. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up? You know, they are two losses away from starting now 5-6 in four of the last five seasons of Carson Wentz. And you put up great points. To me, I'm looking at the big picture in that whatever happens in the Giant game and the Cowboys is irrelevant because this is a big picture issue, okay? Is it worth it to again go 7-8 or 8-7 and barely make the playoffs and then lose in the first round? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. This is now year 5 and Carson Wentz still has no playoff win and he continues to start 5-6 every year. And you brought up just now the slow starts. Why does that keep happening? Well, it's very simple. In 2018, they had Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, Dallas Goedert, and Zach Ertz. Wentz started 5-6 that year. Both took over the same team and went on a playoff run with that same team. So therefore, what I'm saying is, this is the chemistry issue. Mick Foles mentioned yesterday that you have to trust the guy next to you. You have to believe in the guy next to you in order to perform to your highest capability. What we see with the Eagles is consistent underachieving year after year with Carson Wentz. So my solution is, you have nothing to lose because you're going nowhere. As we see week in, week out, we lose with Wentz. You start Jalen Hurts for 4 or 5 weeks. What that does for you is, if they let you say go 4-1 or 5-0 in those 5 weeks, then you know that you have an opportunity next year to make an easier decision what's best for this franchise. Or you can waste the next 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks and continue to lose with Wentz and then go into next year with the same situation where everyone gets blamed, whether it's the coaches, the players, and start 5-6 again. So what I'm saying is, being that this is another season going nowhere, at least you have a guy in Hurts where you can see what you have going forward. You have nothing to lose. So you start in the next 5 weeks. You go 4-1, 5-0. You know what you have. If it fails, then great. You weren't going anywhere anyway with Wentz. So therefore, next year, you don't have to spend $35 million on a quarterback that makes everyone around them worse and significantly underachieved.
Oh, well, you know, Mike, we've talked about this before. I disagree with you. And even with yesterday's performance, while be it not great from Carson Wentz, he looked tremendous in the second half. I'm still not doing that. I'm just not. And that's just not, hold on, Mike. I'm just not doing that because I'm not there at that place where you are right now. I might get there at some point, but he has played better over the last couple of weeks. And while I agree with you that these slow starts, because I just said it, I'm tired of them getting off to these slow starts and he is part of it, especially in the first half, he is part of it. I understand your frustration, but I'm just not there where you are, where you're ready to start Jalen Hurts because I don't, as bad as Carson Wentz may be on certain positions here, I just don't think Jalen Hurts is ready to play right now.
Here's the reason for me is that we're in year 5. So this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing.
You're right.
That's number one. Number two, whether he's directly or indirectly responsible for these losses is not the issue. The fact is they keep losing with him. Therefore, it's not about whether he's for 350 yards and quit and it wasn't his fault, or games where he had a terrible game and it isn't his fault. It's not about that. It's about the end result, which...
Mike, just...
the same result. So I'm saying, try out some of that, because we saw with a different quarterback how much better the team responded and how much better the team as a whole played. Therefore, I'm just saying, forget this chat. Look at the result of the team. The team is not winning with him, so you have nothing to lose with trying someone else. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, man, thanks for the call, Mike. Again, appreciate you starting this off. That's how you feel. I disagree with you. I just, nothing to lose. You listen, you're right. They're going to continue to lose, but you're going to lose with your franchise quarterback. You're not going to do that. You're just not. And they're not going to take him out if he's healthy. He's out there battling. If he's making mistakes, okay, that's one thing. Is he the overall loss? I mean, the reason for their loss every time? No. Should he be helping them in overcoming some of those things and winning, walking away with these winning? Yeah. Yeah. He has not. Again, though, I'm not doing that. I'm not.
When you ask the question, is he the biggest reason for their loss?
He was
the biggest reason for the loss against Washington. He was one of the biggest reasons for the loss against the Rams. And he was one of the biggest reasons for the tie against Cincinnati. But the last 2 weeks, he has not been.
No.
Not even remotely close.
No, and he was the biggest reason for their comeback in the second half. He performed very well last weekend on the road in Pittsburgh. Mike, I get it. And I'm ticked off about the slow starts over and over and over again, but I'm not. I'm not doing that with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is not ready. 610-632-0975. And even if he was, look, I'm just not there. I'm not there. There are people who don't like Carson Wentz, and that's fine. But just because Jalen Hurts is there, and albeit I said, put him out there on the field, let's see some of these different things that they throw out there, let's try something new. Try something new. Try something different, but Carson Wentz is coming back. Mix it up a little bit, because the other things that you're doing, those things are not working. The thing that I am not talking about is what you are talking about, Mike, which is take him out altogether and give Jalen Hurts an opportunity with five games. What if we give Carson Wentz these next five games and he goes, to your point, 4-1, 5-0? Then what? 610-632-0975. Josh in Lower Marion next with us. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Listen, I was about to have this phone conversation go a different way when I called in, but I need to address the last caller. And quite frankly, I don't know how you do it. The man literally just called up and said some kind of stat that, oh, we're going to go 5-6. How does he think we're going to go 5-6 this year based on our record already? By the way, Carson Wentz, 2017. On what planet was our record 5-6? He lost one out of his first, what, eight games and looked like a stud.
Yep.
There is no quarterback in the league playing with the dreck of receivers and offensive line that this team has given him. There is also no coach in the league so inept that they have no idea how to win with their current quarterback that they've been working with for 4 years. If you think Carson Wentz is the problem right now, I am sorry, but you are the person that we get a reputation for being dumb sports fans for. Literally, that is you. You're the reason people look down on Philadelphia if you think this is on Carson. There was two dropped touchdown passes. One in the first half, one in the second half. There was a missed field goal. That is legitimately 17 points. I'm not a mathematician, but if we had 17 extra points, we beat a team that only had one loss. This is not on Carson. They give him year after year, no weapons. They don't upgrade or even change the offensive line. They do nothing to protect this man. Literally nothing. They trot out Peters year after year, injury after injury. They put Deshaun back out there. Do you know how many games Deshaun's played for us since his contract? Three games. That's supposed to be our number one receiver? No. This guy's throwing balls to Hightower, and he's making receivers like good old number 13. Thank God it's not Aguilar. Making him a good receiver. How on earth could you put this on Carson Wentz? He is the only healthy player, the only healthy starter on offense year after year, but yet he's the one injury prone? There's no one else. There's no one else on the starting roster besides Kelsey playing for the Philadelphia Eagles right now. But Wentz is injury prone? Do you know who the Bears have? Do you know who Nick Foles is throwing to?
Allen Robinson.
What his protection looks like?
Yeah.
We have nothing compared to what they do. So, Mike, from South Philly, God bless you. But when you look at this team and you think Carson Wentz is the problem, you're the problem. You're the problem with Philly sports fans. You're why we get a bad rap. Carson Wentz is the only person going out there week in, week out. Somehow Mr. Injury Prone is the only starter on the field. I would love, love for you to explain how this is Carson's fault.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Josh. We'll talk to you, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Again, not Carson's fault. I'm not doing that. Mike and others who do not like Carson Wentz, that's fine. You don't have to like him. But understand what you're saying at this point about taking Carson Wentz out and making him the problem. He was not great yesterday in the first half, but in the second half, that guy brought them back. He did. Say what you want. He is a one tough dude. He was throwing off his back foot. He was getting hit while throwing, running and trying to just absorb all the contact, taking on anything that came his way in order to get that team an extra yard, a score, and ultimately a win. I don't know what was going on at the end on that two-point conversion where that whole thing just blew up and trying to get that thing figured out, and he's trying to figure out with the RPO with Boston Scott whether he give it to him or him he keep it and tuck it and run it. He had to be better in that decision where somebody needed to call a timeout. And if his head coach wasn't going to call a timeout, Carson should have called a timeout. But that's not going to take away from what he did overall as a quarterback yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens. What he did last weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers and keeping them in that game as well. I don't like the slow starts like you don't, Mike. Or anyone else. But him, I'm not sitting. Kelce is the only starter remaining. You are learning now that Jordan Mailata might be a good tackle. Looks like it so far. You are now learning that you could potentially have a wide receiver, a starter. I don't know what number, but a starter in Travis Fulgham. You are figuring out right now that no moral victories, but they do have some fight in them.
I think you're learning you have a guard that can play both positions too, and Nate Herbig.
And Nate Herbig.
I think he's been pretty good.
He has.
You know, and if you get Brandon Brooks back next year, and whether it be Sayamalu or Herbig on the other side, it's vastly improved already.
It is. It is. 610-632-0975. Good call from Josh. Let's go to Bill in Schwenksville next, joining us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, great, Devon. Just kind of piggyback off that caller. Just watching the Eagles the last couple weeks, Devon. The order of the faults for the Eagles are Roseman, Dougie, and then the coaching staff. And just like, you know, he was just saying, again, forget Cart. You know, in football, it's so important to know your receivers, you know, and get to know that. You could take, you know, basketball. You could take four great players. They basically are going to play well together if you know how to play. In football, it's about timing and the amount of people he has to throw to, the different people. You know, it's astronomical. Now, we're the second oldest team, Devon. You know, everybody realize that. The second oldest team. Now, what drives me crazy about Roseman is, I hate to, you know, say this, but he's not a guy, you know this, who ever played a sport in his life. And it's frustrating as a sports knowledgeable fan to watch somebody who is probably friends, you know, in a friend circle with an owner of a football team. And it's just common sense. You know, to me, Devon, and it's been like this for 10 years, simple formula. When you need skilled players, you draft from the Big Ten, the SEC, or one of the big schools. That's a formula that always works. Now, and then why does it work, Devon? Guess what? They're called five-star athletes in high school, and they go to those schools because they're already slotted at superstars. You already know who to take when the NFL. They basically told you, anybody that goes to the SEC, Big Ten, and some of these big schools, they're superstars. you know, they got more potential than from the Pac-10 and this and that. So the draft has decimated us. And just like the caller said, to watch them sign key, I don't care if they sign a fireman off the street. I'd rather see that than Jason Peters or Deshaun Jackson. You know, Roseman got lightning in a bottle by signing free agents who worked out. They gave up 600 yards to a better team. New England was a better team than us. We just hit pot luck that year.
Right.
And ever since then, you know, it's like the 93 Phillies. You know, the 93 Phillies hit lightning in a bottle, and then everybody was done the next year, and then we re-signed them all because of nostalgia. And it's just so frustrating, Devon, to watch other teams develop players, and we never develop. You know, for Carson, like this guy's saying, Carson is constantly running for his life. Dougie doesn't put him. He doesn't call a game that he's going to be successful. He's successful on the run, rolling out. I'm not saying he could do that every time, but he can't sit.
No, I know, and we constantly talk about that when we speak about it, Bill. Thanks for the call. We constantly bring up, why are they not moving him a little bit more out of the pocket? He cannot do it, as you just said, Bill. Cannot do it every single time. No, you cannot. But when you know that that is an advantage, that is a plus for your quarterback, then put that in there. Make use of that. Make sure you make use of that, because that's only going to help you and benefit you in the long run. And now you're giving the defense different looks. They have different things that they need to worry about with Carson Wentz. They've seen it on film. They know it. They know it, just like they sniff out the quarterback sneak, right, yesterday. But more often than not, he converts those because he's good at it. He's a big body. He's good at it. He can do that. He can also move out of the pocket and throw the ball pretty accurately. Now, the receivers have to do what they need to do, do their part, run the proper route, all those great things that we are speaking of. But given an opportunity, put him in the best position to be successful. I was just looking at a tweet quickly here. Philly Fan for Life 8 says, D, the bad starts on the coach and his inability to prepare his team. Doug needs a veteran offensive coordinator. Doug can get Carson in a rhythm or make in-game adjustments. His play calling and team preparation are bad. All right? We've seen him do good things, Philly Fan for Life. This season, last season, you're right. There are plenty of examples where we can look back on it now and say, Doug Peterson has to be better. He has to be better. He has to put his quarterback in a better position. He has to put his team in a better position. The first 15 scripted plays, right? After that, then what? Then what? Yesterday, they did not pick up a first down until the third quarter. And I know that they are talent deficient right now. The third quarter, though, guys, you cannot pick up a first down until the third quarter. And that was the Hightower on another big play where the quarterback had to trust him again to make a play because he has no one else to throw to. Travis Fulgham is going to get the attention. Zach Ertz at that time, I believe, was already out of the game. So you know where the ball has to go, away from Fulgham sometimes, and incorporate others. And he did that. And that's why, again, you see him fight and you see him make these plays. I'm just not there where Jalen Hurts is going to come in, to Mike's point, and make a difference at the start of the game. It's just not. They have a lot of work to do. That's not one of the things that needs to be done. Carson Wentz on that one play that we talked about where he was just putting his shoulder down, put his head down, and trying to pick up every single yard. He had 40 yards in that carry. That man fought for everything in the second half. He was not great yesterday, but he was darn good in the second half. A little too late, but we saw some stuff that we can, again, build off of. This is year number 5. It is very frustrating. There's a lot of frustrating things with this team. One of them being how this team was put together by the general manager, who is going to continue to get heat from myself, from Tyler Zuli, from Pat Egan, from the callers, because of his inability to draft well enough to make sure that you have enough depth on this team. Look, Mark Ingram goes out yesterday, who's the rushing starting running back for that team. We talked about this guy at the draft. We didn't even talk about Gus Edwards, but J.K. Dobbins. Would you rather have, as good as Miles Sanders did, that trio is fun too because of the depth overall. And not saying that I want to get rid of Miles Sanders, because I do not. But we brought this up both in free agency and the draft because you need to have depth overall. And while Jalen Hurts is there and you can do these weird, freaky plays, wouldn't it be nice to have a starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay like Tristan Fulton? Or wouldn't it be nice to have J.K. Dobbins when Miles Sanders goes out where, oh, Boston Scott can stay in his normal role and you bring in this particular player in J.K. Dobbins? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice that when Jalen Reagor or Deshaun Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey, they go out, what do you do now? Oh, okay, you just bring in Van Jefferson. 610-632-0975. I know revisionist history, but Howie's going to eat this one. He's going to have to eat this one. 610-632-0975. Caleb, Charles, Rasheem, we'll get to you when we return. 9 o'clock hour. That was a quick 8 o'clock hour. We have one more hour left on our abbreviated show. We'll hear from Tyler Zuli as well. Your thoughts, leftovers, birds fall. 30-28 to the Ravens, 1-4-1 on the season. They get back at it on Thursday night back here in Philadelphia against the New York Giants. But let's talk about yesterday afternoon right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 901-97.5, The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens. Until 10, Tyler Zuli is here producing. Quick hour. So, we'll tell you about tomorrow with this abbreviated show here. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. following Beers with Bob. That is Bob Cooney and Andrew Souchunas. So we'll get 3 hours tomorrow to pick up the pieces a little bit more, discuss what we saw Sunday afternoon, and then get ready for Thursday evening against the New York Giants. They won their first game yesterday, 2019, over Washington football team. So, again, in this division, they're trying to find their way to the top. Standings right now in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys are currently in first place with a 2-3 record. They are playing the Arizona Cardinals right now. Philadelphia Eagles in second, 1-4-1. New York Giants, 1-5. Washington football team, 1-5. So, yeah, Washington can do something if Dallas loses tonight and they beat Philadelphia on Thursday night. So there's that. Pardon me, New York on Thursday night. 610-632-0975. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's check in with Caleb in Phoenixville here on the Fanatic. What's up, Caleb?
How are you, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Been a while since I called in. So I just figured I'd touch base on the Eagles since that's the topic right now. I do not think Carson Wentz is the problem today. Week one, a little bit, as well as the defense.
Yeah.
But since then, he has been, like you said, carrying the team, you know, and everyone wants to put Hurts in, but I don't think that he's going to – we don't have an offensive line for a rookie who's played, what, six snaps in the NFL, and we don't have receivers for somebody like that. I think if Wentz can't get it done, then neither can Hurts, you know? And I just think he's not the problem, and right now it's injuries and bad play calling, to be completely honest with you.
No, I hear you, man, and – listen, Carson has many problems, and we have many things to point at, Caleb, right, when it comes to Carson Wentz. But yesterday, he had some things that we did not like, but he is not the issue where we're now having to go the direction of putting him on the bench and bring Jalen Hurts in.
For sure. And we gave him a lot of money. He's our guy. And I think that the more chemistry he builds with Fulgham and company, the better off we'll be. I think we're getting better every week, and I think we can get a win this week and hopefully have some momentum with some not too difficult next few weeks and hopefully put together a decent, and by decent I mean 7-win season.
The only problem there, Caleb, is now you're probably out with, well, Miles Sanders is already listed out for Thursday night's game, and also Zach Ertz is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, it looks like. Now you're down two more starters. Your best playmakers outside of Travis Fulgham are now down.
Do you know how long Goddard is out?
Goddard, I think Adam and Jeff said that he could potentially, he's shooting for Dallas, that Dallas game. Not that that's already set in stone, but that's what he's aiming for right now, the Dallas game after the Giants.
Okay, I mean, that would be nice because, I mean, Ertz's production has been, you know, very quiet this year as is, so it would be nice to get Goddard back. And but I just wanted to get your thoughts before I run on what do you think will happen the next 3 weeks as of now? Do you think we can go 3-0, 2-1?
It's so tough to predict. Can they? Yes, Caleb. Can they? I don't know if, obviously, I don't know if they will, just because of we don't know what the offensive line is going to look like. At least let's see what happens in this first week against New York on Thursday night, and then we'll go from there, because we don't know who's going to be out there at this point. We have no idea.
If we lose Jason Kelce, then I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, outside of him, Mailata, yes, and then what? Herbig has been playing okay, but now what's going to happen on the right side? Is Brown going to play again? Because he was awful yesterday.
And Mailata isn't good, but I feel like yesterday, I don't feel like there was a play where Carson Wentz wasn't running for his life. I mean, it was a slaughterhouse back there, and it was tough to watch.
16 times.
The game shouldn't have been that close.
16 times he was hit.
Wow.
16
wow.
times. Yeah, took a beating. Not the day to point at him as far as getting rid of him and making him sit on the bench. Not the day. Caleb, thanks. Good to hear from you, man.
You too, man.
Always appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Not the day.
You know what's funny?
He wasn't great, but not today.
You know what's funny about that? When you were mentioning the offensive line, and he brings up if Kelce goes down, you don't know what you're going to do. Jamon Brown was
terrible.
The bad, like saying that Jamon Brown was bad is an understatement to players that played bad yesterday. Like it's not fair to them, because there were players that were bad in yesterday's game and they were better than what he played.
No question.
Fixing his glove mid snap. Come
no
on.
No question about it. And then of course, you know, you hate to pick at things like this, but after a loss, and you see how things played out, and knowing that you were had a big hand in the loss, and then you see he and Jackson taking a photo, and they went to Louisville. We got it, but it was like it's not a good look.
See, I'm always back and forth with that, because once the game's over, you know, I'm the kind of person myself that if the game's over and I just got beat, and I was a big reason as to why my team just got beat, I'm not playing, you know, happy, joy, fun times with my friends and taking pictures and doing all that kind of stuff.
Especially when you're hanging on to your NFL life. You want your teammates.
Even more so.
You want your teammates to know that you are in this one with them. I'm sure there was a way for them to arrange to meet up. And look, I know you want to do this in your uniform because it just looks better. It looks better when you're in your uniform. But still, man, it's just meet in the back on this one. I'll see you in the back.
Well, and you know what's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's different because it's professional and you're getting paid for it and all that good stuff. But there have been many times, I'm sure you've done it too. I'm sure most people that have played organized sports have done it. At some point, you're playing against your buddy or your brother or your cousin or something, right? If they beat you, I'm not setting up a photo op after the game. I don't want to talk to that person, because they're probably going to, you know, talk some smack, and it's going to get into a shouting match. I'm not going to be around my friend after they just beat me. I can't do it.
610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, not fun to be around after a loss.
No, I'm miserable.
Let's go to Rasheen in Winfield next on the Fanatic. What's up, Sheen?
What's up? Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know how you felt, you know, and listen, they came back. They almost made you look right in your prediction that they were going to win this game. So, you know, how do you see things played out?
I'm happy how things played out a little bit, I guess you could say, in a way, just because of how we were able to fight at the end. You know, I constantly hear people talk about the scripted plays. At the end of the day, Carson Wentz was pressured on 8 of the first 15 dropbacks. So at one point in time, did you expect the offense to run smooth? I keep hearing people calling them for rollouts, but at what point in time?
I'm one of them that wants more rollouts.
But you can't roll out when the team blitzes their corners and their slot corners on a consistent basis. They blitz their DBs most in the NFL.
I know.
So the rolling out, it goes out the window. The inability to run the ball, it goes against the offensive line, but you got to look at it. We're running fourth string and fifth string guys out there. And I hear people with a blame how many rolls it is this day. I understand when they blame how many rolls man at, you know, at certain positions, easy to turn ball at. But to be able to consistent, for this year, to put an offensive line out there to give Carson Wentz the ability to win a game, even though he did not win a game, but to have a chance to win a game. And then, you know, he's playing with no-name guys all across the board. Even in the secondary, we have no-name guys out there. So you know, Harry Rosen definitely gets fair share of blame, but injuries on this football team isn't something that he could predict. Mistakes as far as dropping passes, missing field goals, that's not something Harry Rosen can control. It's just like the luck of a draw, man, just because of how this season is going, man. Nothing is going our way. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing is going your way. No. The only thing that's going your way is that the division is terrible and you're still allowed to possibly win this thing. So then you put the fan base in a dilemma of what would you like to see your team? Do you always want to see a team win? But then you look at the bigger picture and say, hey, you know, should we look at the greater good for this team and all of that? But I'm all about winning. If the opportunity is there to win, win the game.
But you also got to look at it. Listen, you know, people talking about everyone in the division, we're going to be 7-9. Heaven of the day, 7-9, you're going to still be picking like around between 12 and 15.
Yeah, because
you won the division. Right, yeah, even when you win the division. So why not go out there and try to win it as many games as possible? Because either way you look at it around the board, you're going to have a bad record. So which means you're going to be in a position to pick a good player from round 1 to round 7. And then you also got to look at it, but the potential to have Dallas Goedert healthy, the potential to have your starting running back healthy, and to have Deshaun Jackson healthy, you're going to be getting Isaiah Seumalo back. Hopefully, Lane Johnson come back after the bye week. I mean, after this game. So in the next coming games, I really can't speak as far as, you know, what they expect on the defense, because at the end of the day, we're giving them 29 points. So I really don't know what players is going to come back that's going to help us. But if you look at it, the injured players on offense, when they come back, this offense is going to be different. If we're able to do this now with guys that we never heard of, imagine when you have Deshaun Jackson who stretches the field. He may not be the same guy, but he gives you the ability where those.
I agree. Listen, I'm a Deshaun guy, but now he has to stay healthy in order for those things, to your point, to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But you also got to look at him, and that man is 34 years old.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They come into the season, we had to be prepared about. So this is why I don't know why everybody's so surprised that he's hurt. I went into the season, you know, thinking he was going to miss, I say, a half of the year. But at the end of the day, we're in a division, so nothing is over. Right. Nothing is over.
All right, man. Sheen, always good to catch up, man. We'll talk to you, especially with the Giants coming up here on Thursday. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Max in Allentown, then we'll get Tyler's thoughts on the game overall, because we haven't heard from Tyler just yet. What's up, Max?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know my position on this team, and I'm going to have to take a philosophical approach, you know, and hopefully people will understand. The Philadelphia Eagles are like a dying rich man, and they find out he's dying of, not old age, but thallium poisoning. And the officials are coming in, and they're saying, well, how can this be? And they look at the caretaker, Howie Roseman. And Howie Roseman is the poison within this Eagles team. It's a self-inflicted wound. The Eagles will never recover from Howie Roseman. And until Jeffrey Lurie sees this, or he sees it, but until he acts on it, this is just going to keep festering, and it's going to be a slow death. That's where we are with Howie Roseman as a general manager. This guy is not a football guy, and that's obvious. So why is he in the position he is? Should all NFL teams now hire Dairy Queen owners and then be the smartest guy in the room to make that decision, to have running a franchise that's worth $1 billion? We as Eagles fans have to put our foot down, because it's an insult to our intelligence that a man like Howie Roseman is in charge of player personnel. And not only that, his signings, his financial acumen, that too is compromised with the Jason Peters issues, the Sean Jackson. These are moves that weren't on paper sound business moves. They were emotional moves. And that's a problem. And I hope people are starting to realize this, because the only way Howie Roseman is going is if Jeffrey Lurie's losing on the bottom line. And that includes us. We got to boycott this team.
Well, you know, Max, people aren't going to do that, because at the end of the day, you know what it is. They're the Philadelphia Eagles. And Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, you know, they reign supreme. You can be upset with them. You can complain about them. You can be mad that they brought Michael Vick in, Riley Cooper, all these different things. But at the end of the day, they are the Philadelphia Eagles, and they don't lose that fan base, man. So you just hope that Jeffrey Lurie hears these things and comes to his senses on certain positions here with his football team, because It needs to be better. It needs to be better overall.
Right. But with Jeffrey Lurie, that's another issue altogether. This guy produced a movie called V.I. Warshawski, and it was this trumped up story of a woman that was a kick butt FBI agent, and she was a housewife and taking care of the kids and a soccer mom. And Howie Roseman is his V.I. Warshawski. That's Kathleen Turner right there. That's Howie Roseman. That's Jeffrey Lurie's vision. Whatever issues he has as a man, okay, his notion in life is to create this utopia, okay? And we're seeing it in Philadelphia, but it's killing us. It's killing the city, all right? And it's a dream that doesn't have to be. And Jeffrey Lurie is culpable, to say the least, and Howie Roseman is just he's just the thallium poisoning in it all.
Got you, man. Got you. Listen, hang in there, Max. We'll talk. We'll talk, man. Thank you. 610-632-0975. All right, Tyler, we haven't heard from you as of yet. Your takeaway from yesterday and everything that happened.
Well, I think that yesterday there were a lot of encouraging signs for this football team moving forward, especially the fact that your quarterback is, I'm not going to say back. I don't think he'll ever be back to what we want him to go back to, but I think that he's made tremendous progression over the last couple of weeks for sure, especially with the, you know, crippled offensive line around him. The fact that they're on, you know, the third left tackle and the third left guard and the second right guard and the second right tackle, it's a total mess around him, and he's done a really good job over the last 2 weeks, especially later in games. Now, the problem is, a lot of that's happened in the second half of a lot of these games, specifically against Pittsburgh and against Baltimore. They've been good, but this is also a city that doesn't give up, is unrelenting to Dak Prescott, or was when he was scoring and creating drives late in games when the Cowboys were trailing, and saying that it was garbage time scores and all of that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, the city can't have it both ways. You can't say that the Cowboys are scoring garbage time touchdowns, you know, earlier in the season when they were playing teams like the, you know, the Rams and, you know, and some of the other teams that they played this year so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then say that Wentz has been outstanding in the second half of the last two games. The problem for me is, and we've talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, is that there are no moral victories in sports. There are no participation trophies. There are no, well, at least you tried really hard. Because at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. And unless you're playing in the NHL where you get some kind of pity point for making it to overtime, a loss is a loss. And it doesn't do anything for my enjoyment, and it doesn't do anything for my sanity with this team that they lost their that they tried really hard and down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I take some good stuff out of it, but at the end of the day, it's another loss.
It is. Definitely is, man. 610-632-0975. Just a tough one. Tough one. And a line of tough games that we've seen so far throughout this entire football season. You just heard Rasheen say, this is just not the year. It's just not it. Everything is going, nothing is going their way except for them being in a terrible division. And even right now, and I know it's early, we have two Monday night games. The Kansas City Chiefs, they took down the Buffalo Bills, and now the Dallas Cowboys are taking on the Arizona Cardinals. At the end of the night, they could still be in the same spot, half a game back.
Well, and that's the thing is, you can say it's not their year. It's been a tragedy of sorts. This is, it's almost becoming, you know how they talk about in plays and in Broadway, it's tragedy or comedy. It's almost becoming both the way that this season has gone, because we almost have to laugh not to cry at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true to say that if Dallas loses this game to Arizona and they're down two touchdowns right now, that the Eagles are still just a half a game out of this terribly putrid division. And it puts me at the spot where I'm still comfortable with them trying to make a push for a division title.
It's all about winning.
Right.
And if your general manager is good enough, as he thinks he is and as they are paying him to be, and why he is still around, then he is supposed to make do with the best that he can with what he has at his disposal. And if he is able to draft properly and get this team some necessary depth in these different spots, you know, he's doing his job the right way. Even after you make the playoffs with a putrid, as you said, division in front of you, that you win that putrid division, still get into the playoffs, maybe win a game, maybe win two, maybe you get on, maybe you catch fire, maybe, like Rasheen is talking about, guys get healthy, and all of a sudden the Philadelphia Eagles are a darn good football team that were just waiting to get healthy. Their injuries hit early, the other team's injuries hit later, and now that they're in the playoffs with those injuries hitting those other teams now, maybe that's, you know, to the benefit of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know we're wishing upon a star here with all of these scenarios that we are bringing up, but my goodness, man, it's just, they need something to go right for them. And even as we say they need something to go right, we have to live with the reality now that Miles Sanders is going to be out for Thursday night's game. Zach Ertz will be out for a few weeks. Not just Thursday, for a few weeks. Adam and Jeff were saying, I didn't see this one, but Malik Jackson could potentially be out as well on Thursday night against the New York Giants. They can't catch a break. They cannot.
Well, and it's going to be a simplified playbook as it is, because it's a short week, and it's probably going to be simplified even a little bit further because of the fact that, like you just mentioned, there are so many guys that are injured, banged up, or just simply not going to play. This is not going to be a cakewalk game for them by any means because of the injuries that they have. In my estimation, when we look at ahead to Thursday, in my estimation, it's like the Giants are terrible and the Eagles are just slightly less terrible. So to me, that basically says you've got to play a good game to win this. This isn't some kind of walkthrough game that you're just looking ahead to Dallas for. Because if you play that way, you're going to lose.
No question about it. No question. 610-632-0975. All right, final segment. Went by fast, didn't it? Final segment on the other side as we return to wrap up things with our leftovers from yesterday's game against the Baltimore Ravens, falling 30-28. Record now stands at 1-4-1 in the division. Final segment, Devon Givens here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Final segment for us on this Football Monday, following a Philadelphia Eagle loss to the Baltimore Ravens, 30-28. And I know we've been talking about a lot of the bad things that happened here tonight with the game. So I do want to focus on a few things that were pretty good that we saw yesterday. Once again, Travis Fulgham, he looks like he belongs. We don't know how this whole thing happened, where it came from, but man, am I glad he's here. Travis Fulgham yesterday, 6 receptions, 75 yards, and a touchdown, 10 targets. He almost had, which was kind of like, it was a Hail Mary, I believe it was. He almost had a Hail Mary, and the defender knocked the ball out of his hands. That was great. If you look at his game log over the last 3 games, where he really burst on the scene for us, it was the score, of course, for the 42-yarder against the San Francisco 49ers. But in 3 games so far, he has 18 receptions and 3 touchdowns in those games, well over 200 yards, right? Well over 200 yards. He has 284 yards right now. 18 receptions, 26 targets, 15.8 on average for Travis Fulgham for his receptions and the 3 scores that he has currently right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, I mean, he's come out of nowhere and he's giving them, we talk about a boost. You talk about a boost. This guy's come in and you're looking at him and you're saying, what is going on with this guy now? This one is really a really good surprise. So when we talk about Howie Roseman, we have to give him credit for that one, even though they cut him the first time. 6'2", 215, not a lot of great speed, but he was drafted in 2019, round number 6, pick number 184 overall out of Old Dominion. Detroit let him go. Green Bay picked him up. Did not work out in Green Bay. And now the Philadelphia Eagles may have found themselves a starter. Doesn't mean he's the number one, but he is a starter. So when Jalen Reagor does come back, whatever Jackson and Jeffrey do give you, but if you can move forward with a speed guy like Reagor and Travis Fulgham also starting on the outside for the Philadelphia Eagles, that is very good for them. That is very good for the Birds this season, because this is really cool to see how this is all playing out for him right now, just bursting on the scene as someone that none of us expected to jump out the way that he has jumped out. So that was a positive for me yesterday. The other positive, I'll go to John Hightower. So when we talk about no moral victory, the moral victory in this one, Tyler, is this. To drop that ball on third down, third and long, great ball placement by Carson Wentz. That was a great throw. The concentration just simply wasn't there. I don't know what it was. Saw the safety there coming at him. Whatever. He dropped the football. He bounced back, caught a big play later on. And why I say that was also something I'll take as a positive, because they needed that one too. They needed that one in a big way, a 20-plus yarder. And he caught that one, got back up. Let's go do it again. And Carson didn't forget who he had out there. He knew what happened the last time. That was a few quarters ago. But he found that guy. He took that. He doesn't have many other people to throw to. But he found him. And I thought that was a positive for John Hightower, because he needs that. He can't have his quarterback lose that faith in him. And now all of a sudden, he's just lost altogether.
Well, and you know what John Hightower was when he was coming out of school, right? Yeah. He was a pristine route runner. And he was a guy who was going to
occasionally drop the ball.
Yeah, and that was the one of the knocks. He had some drops. He's a great route runner. He is not a spectacular receiver, but a good one.
Good one.
Right? And he's going to have some drops. And he had a drop at an inopportune time. The ball needs to be caught. That's 2 now from him this season that needed to be caught. He gets one more for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he does. He gets one of those conversations that Jason Peters had with him, with Jake Elliott in 2017. Yo, my man, don't miss it again. Do not miss it again, or else. So those are a couple of things. And Miles Sanders looked good. Another 74-yarder, but at the end he fumbled the ball into the end zone. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside fell on top of it. J.J. Arcega, once again, no receptions. 1 target on the afternoon. The credit that you give him on that play is he was blocking downfield. That's what you want to see, right? He was blocking downfield. He was in position to fall in that football in the end zone to get that score for the Philadelphia Eagles. So still nothing from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but if there was any positive to take away from him yesterday, was that. So you saw...
Yeah, he didn't give up on the play.
He didn't give up on the play, and that's what you asked. He kept blocking, and he found himself on top of that football for the score. Miles Sanders, again, very good. Jalen Hurts, his few possessions. You saw some nice things there. That's about all I have. We already mentioned Carson Wentz battling to the end. That's about all that I have for the Eagles. They did get a couple of sacks again. Brandon Graham with two more. Malik Jackson with another as well. But, yeah, that's where I'll really end things because Jake Elliott. Oh, Cam Johnson was good again. But.
The best player on the team.
He gets a lot of work, so he should be good. Drew in Westchester. What's happening, Drew?
Well, what's going on, Devon? How you doing, my boy?
All right, man.
Yeah, so about the birds, I mean, I think it's about time we just kind of accept what it is and that this is not a really very good football team. You know, whether it be injuries, bad drafting, you know, just bad luck. They just, you know, injuries, everything like that. Just, you know, they're just not very good. But the only thing that's saving us is the fact that we're actually still in this division to win it. I mean, I'm watching Dallas get blown out 21-0 right
now. Good.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of crazy that I mean, we may win this division with five wins. I don't even know what's going to happen here, but I'm looking to the future, and that's what I'm more concerned about is where do we go from here? You know, what do we work on to try to improve ourselves? I mean, we've got a pretty good quarterback, I think, and obviously the wide receivers are lacking injuries and everything, but where else do we, you know, try to improve ourselves? I mean, the offensive line. I mean, I just feel like we have holes everywhere.
There are holes everywhere. Yep, no doubt about it, man. And that's where we, again, that's where we get to the whole building of this team with the depth. We thought that they had it, but as we see now, that's not necessarily the case. And to be perfectly honest with you, too, I mean, they're just losing all kinds of players at each level of their depth. So this is just a tough one for them, but to your point, they still may win it.
Yeah, I know. And it's, I mean, and the score yesterday, I think, is a little misconceiving. You know, I think it wasn't as close as the score shows. I think the Ravens led up in that fourth quarter, and the Eagles kind of, you know, had a little bit of a nice comeback there and actually had a chance to tie it. But I think the Ravens had that game in control for most of it, and they didn't even really play that well. But it's just going to be a long season, Devon, and every game I think is going to be like this where we may squeak out a win here or there, but there's going to be so many just plays or things that happen in the game that's just going to have us so frustrated on a week-to-week basis. It's going to be a frustrating next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, it will be. Well, you know, hopefully it won't be because they're winnable games. At the end of the day, they are winnable games. So
yeah, and the games we played have been winnable, I think, too. You know, that's what's crazy about it. We haven't really been blown out by any means. It's just we're just not winning, and you know, that's a contribution to the team itself for allowing themselves to be in this situation with all the heartaches and you know everything they have. So God bless them. I hope they do well, and I'm keeping the faith, brother.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We'll keep it moving on the phones, give everybody an opportunity. One of our favorites. Let's go to Lance in Arizona. Lance.
Hey, Devon. So, a couple of things. One, we need to start talking about Jake Elliott, man. Like, I hate to say this, but since 2008 or 2018, he's 5-for-13 from 50-plus yards on kicks, which is about 23% less than the league average. So he's making it at 38%. The clip in the NFL is at 61. At some point in time, someone's got to bring up the fact he's not consistent enough from that range because we're romanticizing about 2017 when he was 5-6.
Well, hey, man, hey, we think alike because we brought this up at the top of the show where he is just one of those guys that when he's getting ready to line it up, I don't even look anymore because I feel like I'm jinxing him if I'm looking because he continuously misses these kicks, man.
And they're not like small, like, you know what, you're up by 14 points and you miss it. These are ones where, like, you have a chance to take the lead. He misses it. You have a chance again to tie the game. He misses it. Like that Washington kick, if he makes that kick, that game might be completely different.
100%,
except he misses it.
100%.
And then this one, this week, he misses it. This game, that's a win. If he makes that kick, the Eagles win this game. Like, these are things that, like, kickers around the league, man, they're making 50 yards. The guy on the Bengals who botched one earlier this year from short, making a 50-yard kick yesterday. Like, you have to have that, man. When you're not a good offense, like, great offense, you have to have those things. And then I look at it this way. Like, third down, man, for the Philadelphia Eagles is such a horror show for them on offense. Like, they've had 73 attempts on third down this year. 39 of them have come on a third and 8 or longer. That is horrific football. That means you're losing the battle on first and second down simply because of play calling or penalties. And really, it hasn't been the penalties on offense the last couple weeks. So you need to do a better job on that. Otherwise, you're consistently behind the chains. And against better teams like the Ravens, that's the reason why they couldn't get anything going in the first half. You're in consistently third and 10. You're not going to win third and 10. And then lastly, I look at this, man. I see a bunch of people all over, like, Facebook or Instagram. Nick Foles this. He's winning games. Like, I love Nick Foles. But let's just make something clear. The Chicago Bears, in his three starts, have scored 18 points on average.
I know.
And he has 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. If the Philadelphia Eagles the last 3 weeks had the Chicago Bears defense that's given up 16, 19, and 19, the Philadelphia Eagles would be 3-0. Think about that for a second. Because the Eagles' offense has scored 25 points, and that's taking away that interception touchdown they had in San Francisco. They've averaged 25 points the last 3 weeks. That means if their defense was good enough over the last 2 weeks, at least, they would have been 3-0 right now. But they're not, because their defense isn't good enough. And I don't know why we're paying Hargrave, because that dude has not shown up all season for the Eagles.
Yeah, and I like that signing. I'm disappointed in what he has not given them. I thought he would help out. And listen, the depth is there for that grouping along the line of scrimmage. But to your point, he has not been the guy that they thought they were bringing in. No question about it.
You're going to see, though, man. You're going to see, because Malik Jackson's out for 2 weeks. You're going to see what he is. But I look at it this way, man. You're going to get to that trade deadline. I do not want to win the battle of 2020 to lose the war in 2021, 2022, 2023. Do not be aggressive and trade away picks just to win a bad division. If you're going to make a move, bring in a guy that can help you for the future and is on a rookie contract. Don't trade for an expensive guy, and don't trade picks away. If anything, trade away some of your guys that are going to either leave in a year or not be here for the future and get some picks back. Don't win a battle and lose the war of the future.
Listen, thanks, man. You have your thoughts. I still want them to win because it's just what it is. All of that stuff will play out organically. If they're not good enough, they're just not good enough. Right now, 1-4-1, they're not good enough. But the division says that you're at least okay enough to potentially win it and make the playoffs. You may not go any further. So, I mean, Lance is not the only one who feels that way.
Well, and to Lance's point about
young talent,
getting rid of some of the guys that are maybe on expiring contracts or have maybe gotten past their prime, it always goes back. I feel like I say this a lot, and I'm sorry if I do, Devon, but it goes back to, you know, the point counterpoint of a trade, and you have to look at both sides of said trade. We do it a lot with the Sixers, where it's just like, oh, add in, you know, X amount of second round picks, and they'll accept the trade. You know, you're not playing a video game here. The guys that are on large expiring contracts, or the guys that are on that are getting a little bit older, what is their return value for next season? You know, particularly when you talk about getting draft picks, what is the return value versus what is their actual value on the field to the Eagles roster? You know, one of the names that you may be starting to hear in trade talk before he got injured this weekend may have been Malik Jackson, because of the large contract and the fact that they're pretty deep at defensive line and defensive tackle specifically. What does a guy on a large contract who is coming off a serious injury return you for even a team that's a contender? A fifth round pick?
Yeah.
Is that worth it? Or is his productivity on the field more important?
Yeah. And we're going to have to revisit our Twitter poll from a couple of weeks ago.
One about winning the division?
How many wins? Yeah.
Gets less and less every week. Dallas is getting not shut out, but close to it.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is... The Eagles might be fine after tonight. How about that? And I was wrong about Andy Dalton. But, you know, hey, that's not our problem, is it? What was the one you said earlier? I was talking to you and Jeff and Adam were talking about different things. They mentioned Jordan Howard. You said something about Frank Gore. What about Frank Gore?
Yeah, they had brought up Frank Gore as a potential trade target.
Okay. And he's with the...
The Jets.
Jets.
Yes. And the reason that they liked him particularly was twofold. One, he would be a incredibly veteran, very good pass-blocking running back, something that they don't have right now in that capacity. And also, he probably would not cost you very much in return because he is... Was he 37, 36, something like that? I mean, he's been in the league for like 42 years. So his son is a freshman at Southern Miss. But, you know, it's somebody that would be cheap and not cost you a lot in return and fills a role that you might need, you know, especially heading into if you're missing Miles Sanders for multiple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Ed Werder, ESPN, before we get out of here. This is the fifth consecutive game the Cowboys have been behind by at least 14 points. So we've seen it.
Yeah, that defense is horrible.
We've seen it.
Their offense is really good.
We've seen them come back.
Not tonight, but...
We've seen them come back. Yeah, not tonight. Not tonight.
Well, you know, you and I were talking off the air. I said to you during the break, Andy Dalton, he's running for his life tonight. And Zach Martin went down with an injury. I'm not sure if he's back or not, but he went down with an injury earlier. And that offensive line's not been good to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see Cowboys fans on your Twitter feed calling for backup guards and backup tackles just like Eagles fans were. There's no paradise in the NFC East. It's all bad.
It is very bad. Very, very bad. At some point, you're looking at this and you're saying, you know what? Someone is going to get this thing right. Someone.
You'd think.
It's impossible not to.
Well, and we talked about how it's, you know, we all thought most of the year and even into the beginning of the season before the season started, it's a two-team race between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And we all thought that regardless if you took the Eagles to win the division or the Cowboys to win the division,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't going to be a good one again. And... Now you're starting to think about it. It's like the longer that this thing goes, the longer the possibility that something incredibly, ridiculously crazy happens where Alex Smith leads Washington to a division title.
How about that?
Or the Giants
win.
Wouldn't
that be a story?
You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be a story?
It's crazy to think about, but it gets more and more realistic as the season goes on.
Outrageous. Outrageous that they are in this position, but outrageous that, hey, man, this division is terrible at this point. But anything stand out to you during the weekend overall with the NFL teams, the Tampa Bay game?
Yeah, that was a big statement for them.
Listen, Green Bay up 10-0, and I'm sitting there looking, you know what, Tampa will score, and this will be just a back-and-forth thing. They took control of that game. They really took control of that game, so that was something that really stood out to me yesterday. The fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers laid one on the Cleveland Browns made sure, listen, say what you want about who they've played. They've won those games. They're undefeated. So if you want to say Cleveland was never good, but guess what? Cleveland was 4-1. So if Cleveland was 4-1, they were good at that moment. And Pittsburgh laid one on them yesterday. Pittsburgh is a good football team.
They sure are.
That Minka Fitzpatrick trade that we talked about last season looks like it's paying some dividends right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Minnesota Vikings, they just the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and you know what? You asked me what stood out to me. What's become very evident over the last probably 3 weeks specifically when some of the teams with better records are starting to match up against each other.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's about four great teams in the league. Then there's a handful of good and a handful of really, really bad.
Yeah.
And most of the teams in this league are unbelievably average.
And with COVID being COVID, the fact that, look, I know the really good teams that you're talking about, they get off to their start. They're the good team, so it all works out for them. They don't need an excuse of that. Everybody's behind because of what has taken place. So the NFL seemingly has those mediocre years with football teams in general where everybody's all jumbled up and you're all bad and people start to separate towards the end of the season. You win your three straight. You win your four straight. Now we start to take ourselves away from that one team. This is just what it's going to be all season long, especially for this division. Some of the other ones that are a little closer as well, where they're not high in win total. The Chicago Bears, as Lance talked about, I'm surprised that they're 5-1. All right. It's just what it is. Nick Foles, like Lance was saying, he's done something to make them feel like they are winners. And we can't say that Mitchell Trubisky would have done that. Otherwise, Mitchell Trubisky would be the quarterback right now for that team. Well, so,
and at this point with the Bears, you know, they're 5-1, and whoever they've beaten, they're playing a bad schedule. And the Eagles
beat
them too.
Beat them.
So are they great? No. But at this point, you have to classify the Bears as a good football team. I didn't think that would be something we'd be saying, but right now they're a good team.
I did not either, but they are a good football team. Tyler, you're a good producer, man. Thanks. Great work tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Great work tonight.
Pretty
good callers always. Thank you, my man. Appreciate everybody out there for checking in, listening, the abbreviated show. We got 3 hours tomorrow starting at 7 after Beers with Bob. So check back in with us tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Have a great night. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.